Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Welcome to another edition of Spits and Suds as we roll along. So much happening in Dallas Stars world. And so we're here with another episode. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Hey guys, thank you so much for supporting us in this off season. You guys are making this happen. The fact that we're getting regular season numbers in the off season means that you want Stars info. And hopefully at Spits and Suds, we're trying to give that to you as much as possible. We have amazing correspondents here, and one of the better ones is joining us today for his weekly visit. He is the man behind EP Ringside. They have a massive draft night, and we'll get into also his Shap Shots, which is his Substack, which we'll talk about the latest article from Sean Shapiro, as well as the book We Win Here, which he co-authored with Stephen Meserve. And of course, he was the goalie in the Late Game movie, and he writes for D Magazine as well. How are you, Sean?
I'm busy, but I'm good.
Yeah, really you are busy.
I am a little bit sad to be doing this from home. I'm hoping that I hope the draft is entertaining and goes well tonight. But I hope it doesn't go so well that the league is like, oh, this works. We can stay remote to decentralized in the future. So
yeah,
I'm hoping for a weekend that is not slow and backlogged, but I am hoping for one where people look at this draft from a league perspective and say, hey, you know what? Yeah, remember how good that draft was in Vegas in 2024? Remember that in-person draft? Like, we need to get back to that. So I'm hoping that is the end result of this weekend. So when we record on June 27th in 2026, we're doing it on location from the draft, as opposed to remote and all in our own homes.
Yeah, I love the idea of 3-1. I think that would create amazing attention for the NHL if you went draft, if you went NHL awards, and then maybe you did some kind of like hot stove where maybe teams could talk to other teams, and you know, that would pick up trade talk, and maybe, you know, free agents are allowed to talk a little bit early. So there'd be so much buzz around that like weekend, and I really do feel as though cities would bid for that.
Yeah, it was already happening already, right? Like, we saw them put the awards, like, that's kind of what happened in Vegas and Nashville the past couple of years. That's what we did do. And it really came down to teams voted for this, and they voted before they saw the event and how it went in Vegas. And I would be, my kind of dream scenario is we get into a rotation of an in-person draft, if you'll allow me to paint this image for a second, Gavin, where we get into a 3-year rotation of Vegas, Montreal, and then an additional host, and then an additional rotating like bid for host city, right? Because I think there's something really cool about the Montreal draft. It's where the draft was held the first time. It was held there, and I think there's something really neat about doing it there. Vegas gives you a Western Conference spot, and then you kind of add the kind of other places can bid to be in that year three thing. And I think if you could give something like that, if you could present teams a kind of set plan like that, I think it would work. And I'm personally hopeful that we get back to that, because it's been a weird week where I know some people are on the ground in LA and they're talking with, there's players and prospects there, but all the actual decision makers are back in war rooms across the country, and it feels like the draft loses a little bit of buzz when you don't have everyone in the same place.
No, you're absolutely right.
I thought that was one of the rare, unique things.
So people should be following.
It's something the NHL had over.
Yep.
Yeah. I was just saying, it's something the NHL should had over basketball and the NFL, and like it was the draft was actually like, hey, this is kind of cool. Like, go, let's get back to that. So,
Yeah,
sorry.
absolutely. And let's plug at the forefront that Elite Prospects will have all the coverage, updated draft boards. It's such a great resource for people listening to Spits and Suds and elsewhere. If you have any question about a player, Elite Prospects is the place to be. And you'll be working. There are so many people behind the scenes that'll be working at Elite Prospects. So what a great resource this weekend.
Yeah. So yes, plug the guys over there at EP. They do a great job. We've got, I know the Stars aren't going to pick till 94, but any player that you have interest in, we've been going through. We got all the film rooms and everything like that. We've got it's it really is one-stop shopping for tonight, so.
Okay, article out on Shap Shots. On rumbling smoke, retreads, and what words actually mean this time of year. The great thing about reading Sean, if I can pump your tires, is that you make me think when I read your articles. And I love the beginning of your article. It's a pretty big week in buzzwords within NHL coverage. Quote, hearing that, quote, smoke, quote, word is, quote, rumblings. And you talk about two things specifically. You talk about Mitch Marner and the mention that the Stars are interested or in the mix or could be. And then you talk about the coaching as far as the two final candidates and two people that you know personally in Glenn Gullitzen and Neil Graham, two people that you've had multiple conversations with, have a great relationship with. So let's start with the Marner talk because it's fascinating because mathematics-wise, how do you make something like that even happening without some wizardry and some big trades?
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole Marner thing is he is he going to talk to the Stars? The Stars going to talk to him? Probably. It's if you're the Dallas Stars, it's best to talk to as many good players as possible. It's an intel business, right? But you don't get it done. I just don't see the feasibility, Gavin, of how you could bring Marner in without getting rid of Jason Robertson. And that's, if you want to have the conversation about should you move on from Jason Robertson, that's fine. But even if you move on from Jason Robertson and you clear up that 7.85 million or whatever it is, and then you're also moving probably out of Dumba, and you have to find a way to move Dumba and Lyubushkin too, though. It just, even then, the math doesn't math really well. Right? It's not,
It doesn't,
it's
you're right.
really hard to see how it could all work. And on top of that, like the other big one is, right? Like the other big contract you could move, and he wouldn't do it, is Tyler Seguin, right? Like you could be like, ah, but Tyler Seguin's got the full no move, though. So that's not happening either. The whole Marner thing is, I think we have to respect, we at least have to give it a little bit of air like we're giving right now, just because we would have said the same thing 8 months ago about Mikko Rantanen being a Dallas Star, right? Like, so we have to give Jim a little bit of the, Jim is in his being bold era and is willing to take these swings and make some things work that we don't really understand how they might work in the moment, and then we see. So we have to give a little bit of that credence. But it's, if you're Marner, of course you talk to Dallas, you talk to Nashville, you go through and you take every call with every possible team because you want to squeeze every single dollar out of whoever is going to pay you. And I think that's an important thing to remember here when it comes to these leaks and things like that, whether it's the agent, the player himself, or whatever, it's all a leverage game. It's all about Mitch Marner's trying to get his next best deal. And for the Dallas Stars, it's actually not a bad thing if Mitch Marner gets his next best deal because he probably goes to another contender. And if he costs them $14 million, well, that's a really tough cap hit for another team to handle and figure out. So I think that's an important thing to remember here with all of this Marner stuff, and especially as we're going to get more with July 1 right around the corner, and as things go, like as play, if something is getting out, it is out most of the time. It is out for a reason, and then you have to kind of reverse engineer where it's whether that's a nefarious reason or not, or not nefarious, but whether that's an intentional leverage reason or not.
Sean, at what point, and I think maybe, am I correct, Stars fans have to realize that maybe the free agent splash was in fact Mikko Rantanen, the trade last year, and the contract extension.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. If you had said, if you had told the, we knew that Rantanen was going to be the class of this free agency class if he hadn't signed in season. And so I think that's part of it. You have to look at that way. And you got some bonus run out of him this year, and you saw how he's starting to fit. And so that is a way to look at it. And it's, the other thing is, like, I see people bring up other names and things like that, and I don't see where the Stars have the money to do it, right? Like, one popular name that's coming up right now is Nick Perbix, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Perbix would, in theory, Nick Perbix would be a great addition to the Stars. But
in theory,
if you're Nick Perbix, are you going to sign for? Yeah, like, are you going to sign for $1.5 million when your value's never been higher?
Right.
Exactly. And so that's where I think you have to kind of add this, like, this is where things really, what really matters. And so it's like,
well, I'll throw out an interesting scenario is that, I mean, people talk about, well, you can fill with people like Ritzkovian and Matei Blumel. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, is Matei Blumel going to re-sign?
I mean, if you're Blumel, I think if you're Blumel, you want to see how Dallas kind of handles things over this weekend. But, like, I actually think there's a good opportunity for Matei Blumel in Dallas. I think there is a, when it comes to these fourth, the bottom six role, you're going to have a new coach to impress. Jim Nill does. It's a kind of, I think there's kind of a, there could be a perfect storm set up for Matei Blumel to succeed in Dallas next season, just because we know Jim Nill values loyalty. So him re-signing gets a little bit of the loyalty from Jim Nill, and then he also gets to impress a new coach. And maybe there's someone from that staff who knows him already. So it's, but if you're a Blumel, you owe it to yourself to look at these options and the depth charts around the league of where am I going to get that opportunity? Because, and I think Blumel is an interesting case of, right now, it's more of looking at opportunity over money. You know, that's just how I would look at it, because I think there's, you want to find the spot where you can prove and be a game one NHL player, which means that kind of locks you into that kind of that level, and it can be a better career escalator. But it really is an interesting space for Blumel here.
Probably too early to ask this question, but following this season, and I was one of them, Sean, and I'm not going to overreact because free agency trades can happen over the next few days, but the signing of Matt Duchene, the signing of Jamie Benn, the question is a lot of people were saying, well, I just don't want to run it back and change is necessary, but isn't there a case to be made early when looking at this that, in fact, that's what's going to happen?
Yeah, it is. I mean, now that's the thing where the Stars aren't a better team right now. And that's one of the things that I think we'll have to just accept. Like, you had to move Mason Marchment for the cap hit reasons. You had to move Mason Marchment to be able to bring back Matt Duchene. I think that's the right move if you had to pick one over the other. But I don't see how they're going to re-sign Mikael Granlund. I just don't see it.
At least, like, five a year, I would think.
At least. I mean, if you're Mikael Granlund, you go to Utah and they give you $7 million to be their number one center.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Like, that's so. It's not even just running it back. They are taking a step back when it comes to some of those other older pieces, and this is really going to be, it depends on how you want to define this, but when you look at, all of a sudden, when you're going to have, like, they re-signed Jamie Benn yesterday, a deal that we all knew was coming, but is, like, Jamie Benn, like, let's play this game out, Gavin, right? You're looking at the Dallas lineup, you're building out your depth chart, right? Your first line left winger is Jason Robertson, right? And you have, say you go Robertson, Hintz, Rantanen. And then Jamie Benn's probably your second line left wing right now. And I know people don't like think like, oh well, he's lower in the lineup and everything like that. But where do you have the space to go find another top six left wing, right? Like, I mean, you're looking realistically, your left side next year could be Robertson, Benn, Beck, and then Ritzkovian or Steele, depending on who plays where, right? Like, this is not a. I'm not seeing the, like, I'm not seeing Jamie Benn in a fourth line role, Jamie Benn, just because. There's no Mason Marchman's gone to move
Right.
down there, and you don't have other pieces anymore. And like, so we're gonna learn real quick, I guess. Of, and I'd like to see it. We're gonna learn real quick of what can Oscar Beck and Ritzkovian do, and then all of a sudden, and that's one of the reasons we talked about Blumel before. Like, if you're Matei Blumel, you look at that. If those guys are getting the opportunities. Maybe you think you can go outplay those guys and do better, but it's a team that is taking a step back on paper, and
Yes.
you look at just the players in front of you.
Yeah. Not to mention, you really don't have a second pairing as far as defensemen.
Not right now, no.
Yeah.
Now there's a lot of ifs and buts, right? Where it's
Yeah.
like. The if you give me like I think Nils Lundqvist under a new coach probably has maybe there's a next step for Nils Lundqvist and maybe it's maybe that Bischel Lundqvist pairing becomes a homegrown thing where it makes all of these problems go away. But like right now it's like whether it's Harley or Lindell, because we're assuming Miro Heiskanen is going to be your top side. Right D, one of them is going to be. Are they going to be kind of dragging around Ilya Lyubushkin at 31 years old? Like, what's
Yeah.
like? It's a playoff team. Let's be clear on that. But all of a sudden, you're like, is this a team that's instantly a Stanley Cup contender again?
Right.
And you got to be honest with yourself.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct. All right. Before we let you go, let's get into the big hot news. Glenn Gullitzen, Neil Graham, you know them both well. So the word retread gets thrown out there. And what's interesting is we look at like football, for example, and Wade Phillips is the shining example of, great assistant coach. But they also once said that about Pete Carroll. And Pete Carroll, after coaching stints at the Jets and the Patriots, went to Seattle. And no one gave him really, any chance. No one thought that Pete Carroll would be the Super Bowl winning coach that he became. And I use that as an example of Glenn Gullitzen does come with a lot of experience and learn lessons. And I thought Robert brought up a great point yesterday. And he gave a lot of credit to you is sometimes we don't think of the surrounding aspects of when you were head coach. For instance, the Stars were in bankruptcy when Glenn Gullitzen was the coach. Brad Richards would not waive his no trade that Robert pointed out. This was a team in disarray that Glenn Gullitzen coached.
It was not a good team. Go look at the roster,
Yeah.
right? It is just there's no what's the right word here? There's no like to if we're going to judge his performance in Dallas as a from 12 years ago, do we have to go and judge every other player and coach from when they were 12 years ago? Like that's the other thing. People get time to grow and figure things out. Like I was looking through this, and obviously I don't know for sure if it's going to be Glenn Gullitzen or not, but it seems to be trending that way. But like one of Jim's first moves as the GM in Dallas was firing Glenn Gullitzen,
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
And like so I went and dug up this quote. This is out there in public domain. It's in literally in the story from 2013 where it's like Jim took about 2 weeks to decide whether to fire Glenn Gullitzen then. And like I'm gonna read the direct line. Nils said, "We had some good discussions. It's part of the business. Sometimes you have to go through peaks and valleys. In the end, this is going to make him a better coach." So Jim might have been prophetic, not knowing that a dozen years later he'd be the one to hire him again.
Right.
But that's like there's opportunity there. And for me, the whole Gullitson thing, one of the big things is people will be like, oh, I remember what happened then. I refuse to use a season and a half, because one of those seasons was a lockout shortened, a season and a half to define his entire resume. For me, the bigger thing I look at is what he's done lately. In the past 8 years in Edmonton, everyone goes and says, oh my God, they should have a great power play or whatever, right? They have a good power play with Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. Well, let me tell you some numbers, Gavin. So,
fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Between the in the 2017-18 season with Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid on the team, the Edmonton Oilers had a 14.8% power play percentage, one of the worst in the league. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's just a fact. Summer of 2018, Glenn Gullitson is hired as an assistant. 2018-19, their power play percentage jumps up to 21.2%, 7% raise. A year after, jumps up to 29.5, an 8% raise. After that, 27.6, 26, 20, 22, 23, they have a 32.4% jump, the best in NHL history statistically. The year after that, 26.3. This year, 24%. For all of the Draisaitl and McDavid have been there the whole time, and they've never had the type of power play success they had until Glenn Gullitson arrived. And I think that environment and atmosphere needs to be talked about here. Of like, look what happened when he was in Dallas, and looked what he helped cultivate in Edmonton. And I talked to Chris Knobloch, the coach of the Oilers, about what Glenn Gullitson has meant to him. And like, yes, Chris Knobloch's the head coach there and took over them to the Western Conference to the Stanley Cup Final back to back years. Knobloch is also one of the reasons Knobloch got the head job in Edmonton is he coached McDavid in the OHL, and there's a relationship there that Knobloch took advantage of. Glenn Gullitson has been a huge part of the Oilers reaching back-to-back Stanley Cup finals. He's basically been the second head coach there. Like, so for me, it's quote-unquote retread, I guess, technically, but it's more so of a it's more of this is a different version of Glenn Gullitson. This is a person who has grown and has, if he had coached any other team in that time, people would be like, oh yeah, we want him as a head coach. But just because it was 1 year in Dallas, that's people are overreacting to his resume. So
yeah, and one would think if that's the case, then Neil Graham will be elevated to an assistant coach role, and that'll be good experience for him getting behind an NHL bench.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before we came on, we had news. Elliot Friedman, Hockey Canada is hiring Dallas assistant Misha Donskoff, who you've talked about a lot, Sean, as VP Hockey Operations and men's national teams coach, reporting to Scott Salmon. He'll coach the men's world championships team, associate at the World Juniors, assistant at the Olympics. That's a big job with a lot of pressure, as you know, Canada wants their boys to take home gold in any level, whether it's world championships, junior. But congratulations to Misha Donskoff. Well deserved. Tell us what kind of loss that is for Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, and a great role for Misha. It's an interesting kind of hybrid role where he'll be the head coach for worlds, for men's worlds. He'll be an associate head coach for world junior, and then be an assistant at the Olympics. And we know Misha was an assistant at Four Nations for Canada when they won the trophy, gold medal, whatever we call Four Nations. And he's a really good coach. He's one of the best one-on-one coaches some people have worked with. Jim Neal used that line to me. He's a really good organizer. He's the one who makes things go. And one of his strengths has always been he really thrives in short tournament formats. And he was the kind of one that kept everything above board and all of the ship shape and everything like that, whatever cliches you want to use for Canada at Four Nations. And so I think this is a great move for him. It's a bummer for the Stars because he was really important to the day-to-day things. And so there's now going to be an opening on the Stars staff for whether it's Glenn Gullitson or someone else. There's going to need to be an assistant that's going to have to step into that role. And it's going to be interesting to see how that kind of all shakes out. But for Misha, this might be the step to being an NHL head coach someday, right? You go through and you do this for Hockey Canada and you do that. And maybe this is his step that he needs to take to eventually be a head coach if he wants to. So great move for him. And it's a great move for him. And from the Stars, it's someone's going to have to step up and fill that role, because whoever the head coach is, Glenn Gullitson or otherwise, we now are probably going to see two new assistants. If we guess, one's going to be Neil Graham. We'll see.
And Brad Alberts yesterday, the Stars president, tweeted out the eyeball emoji just to let everyone know our guy Sean Shapiro investigated it, tried to get Brad to say what that eyeball emoji meant. There are numerous things it can be, Sean, but unfortunately we don't know as of yet. I'm personally thinking a third jersey.
Maybe. I mean, it could be. That's like, it's the whole, it could be the coach. It could be a third jersey.
Could be a winter classic or a, announcement there, but that would be big. Yeah. That'd be too big to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think more of, I would think either jersey or coach. That would be my guess. Now, I don't know. I needled Brad about it. Of course, after I tweeted that I got a family thing at 2 today, Brad then texted me back saying, well, we'll announce it at 2 today for you. So stay tuned on that. I do expect it to happen today. It's whatever it is. It's also, we do know the league and the NHL and the PA are holding a press conference at 1 o'clock today. So I would imagine it's either before or after that and not at 1 o'clock, just because that's kind of one of those things you don't, maybe it's at the same time, but it's also a good way from a Stars perspective to grab a little buzz on draft day when they're not going to draft today. So.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. Early congratulations on your draft coverage. It'll be terrific. Elite prospects. You can follow them. EP Ringside. You do such a great job with that organization. Shapshot's putting out the article that we talked about today, and the articles will keep coming. Sean Shapiro, I promise you, will be on top of any Stars news, so be sure to give him a follow on his Substack. D Magazine, he also writes for. Sean, absolute beast of a half hour. We got through a lot of good subjects. Appreciate you being on the Stars beat and giving us all this info.
Yeah, we'll do July 1 next week. Is that our plan?
Yes.
We'll
have to figure it out. Yeah. Always one of my favorites. Free agency, baby. You know, come on. Yeah. I mean, everyone thinks, like, I just say this in closing, Sean, because I made a prediction that I thought Utah would be in the mix for the playoffs, and they were. Didn't make it, but they were. They had a lot of injuries. Everyone now thinks that I'm a Mammoth fan. I am a Kesselring fan. I will tell you that, Sean. I am a Kesselring fan.
I do think Buffalo got, I mean, there was more to, I think there's more Buffalo should have tried to extract in that deal. I don't mind Kesselring, but I also think, like, for example, like a Josh Doan, right? He's not a bad player. I think he's a fine player, but I think there's also too much tied into the namesake, right? Where it's easy to be like, I think if Josh Doan's last name is Smith, I think there's not as much value attached to his name.
Yeah.
And his trade value, I think. So.
Yeah. I think they tried to get something because the player was adamant that he wasn't re-signing. And but it'll be interesting. Kesselring moves closer to where he grew up. So we'll see how that trade pans out. Sean, you're a beast. Thank you, as always, for joining us.
Always fun, Gavin. Always fun.
Absolutely. We'll have another episode. David Castillo set to join us soon, and we'll talk about when news breaks and everything like that. We'll have another episode of Spits and Suds as we roll along as we end June. And thank you so much for supporting us on Spits and Suds. Until our next podcast, have a great day, everyone.